have we done?
Okay, so welcome to the abyss.
Holy crap!
Yeah, wait. One intro.
That public domain music, man. That's where it makes me feel like I should be hanging upside down from a stripper pole somewhere.
What have we done?
Oh my dear God! So as you can tell, or maybe you can't, we've been having all kinds of technical difficulties, and yes, another podcast pulled out of my ass. Yes, Scott, we can hear you.
Okay, just making sure.
Yes.
Before this, you guys are like, Scott, where are you? And I'm like, I'm here. And you're like, shut up. No, you're not.
Okay, well, now shut up because you're here. Anyway.
How are you doing? Welcome to the internet.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm Eric. Along with me is Preston, Scott, and B-Square, the almighty Abyss crew. Here for the next hour, we're going to give you a rundown of the latest and greatest in whatever we're thinking about. So... we're not really talking about too much of anything, are we?
No. Is anyone in the chat?
Yeah, if you are listening online, we do have a chat available at blogtalk.com/ABIS, of course, the Abyss. We do have quite a few people in the chat. And
well, it's all about haunt season now.
That's
I mean,
right.
Really all anybody can think about. Well,
you were saying
not all anybody can think about, but it's a big chunk.
You were saying we don't have anything to talk about. When has that ever been a problem for us? We never talk about anything anyway.
Exactly, right? Well, A few quick things. Yes, this is the beginning. Let me start that over. This weekend is the beginning of
a beautiful
haunt season. A beautiful, beautiful time of year. The most wonderful time of the year. And I am, of course, talking about haunt season.
Oh, I thought we were... Oh, that's the best season of all. I'm agreeing with you. Yes! Oh! Oh.
So, yeah, so haunt season, you have basically every single major haunt that starts up this weekend. You have, of course, Halloween Horror Nights, the big one, Hallow Scream, and we just lost B again. God! Damn it, can we never keep anybody? But we have Hallow Scream. We have all the Fright Fest.
We have B-Square back.
Yes, and we have B-Square back. We have all the Fright, Six Flags Fright Fest starting.
I'll get the around here. I fell into it.
Okay.
Darn it.
We have all the Six Flags Fright Fest starting. We have a lot of private haunts starting. It is the haunt season, man. The time of year to get scared.
You know, I'm going to be doing something quite interesting this year. That's a departure for me. I'm going to be stopping off in Atlanta and doing a haunt called Netherworld.
Ooh, I've heard about that.
Which I've heard an awful lot about. I saw on the I didn't even know it existed until I saw it on the Travel Channel last year. But once I saw it, I had to see, especially considering I drive through Atlanta every year to go to Halloween Horror Nights. So I drive right past this thing. So I'm going to stop and give it a look-see. So that should be a lot of fun.
Well, we're going to talk a lot about, in the second half of the show, we're going to talk a lot about what we're going to be doing for haunt season, including where you can meet up with us if you so desire to and why you'd want to. I have no idea.
Or how you can avoid us.
Thing of all. Yeah,
yes, exactly. How you can avoid us. Exactly. And please follow that. So.
Oh, no.
Okay. Oh, whew. I got a little scared there. I was like, I don't have the interview. But the big thing that we have this week, I was able to participate in another conference call with Universal Orlando, and we got to speak with the man gods themselves. I am, of course, talking about Mike Roddy and Mike Aiello.
You know, in order to be a bigwig at Halloween Horror Nights, you either have to have the initial J or be named Mike.
Exactly.
One or the other. That's a prerequisite.
Never thought about it, but yeah, you're absolutely right.
True.
So, and they're going to talk to us, or actually they're going to talk to us. We talked about all kinds of stuff about the event, about horror movies, all kinds of
us.
Crappy movie.
Yeah, a crappy movie.
One particular crappy movie that perhaps
you guys talking about Doomsday.
No, yeah. We're not talking about Doomsday. We're talking about the movie that shall not be named, but Mike Roddy and Mike Aiello actually name it.
On company time.
On company time, no doubt. So here we go. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, you're going to hear J. Michael Roddy and Mike Aiello talking all about Halloween Horror Nights.
Hooray.
This is the Essential Theme Park and Attraction Podcast.
ThemePassPodcast.com.
This is where you get the information straight from the mouths of the creators of the parks and attractions you love to visit. Join a cast of experts and fans
every week on an informative experience into the world of rides, attractions, and parks.
Pick up your season pass every Tuesday morning over at SeasonPassPodcast.com.
Or you can subscribe to us through iTunes. Keyword Season Pass.
Season Pass.
SeasonPassPodcast.com.
Do more tickets and ride.
Hi, this is Nick Hudson from Musical Talk, the UK's independent musical theatre podcast. If you're a fan of all things Broadway and West End, this is the show for you. We've had such guests as Alan Menken, William David Brohan, Stephen Sondheim, Jerry Herman, Stephen Schwartz, Johnny Depp, Helena Bonham Carter, Tim Burton, Alan Rickman, Mark Shaiman, William Finn, George Stiles and Anthony Drew, Julian Fellowes, Summer Stranon, Jeff Marks, Gerard Alessandrini, Stephanie J. Block, and Richard Thomas. The show features a varied team of presenters and contributors from all over the world, including writers, producers, lyricists, book writers, directors, actors, and singers. So check us out at www.musicaltalk.co.uk or just hit us up on iTunes at keyword musical talk. We'll see you on stage.
I'll go first. This is Eric Yates with Awesome Badness. How's it going, Mikes?
Hey, how are you?
Good. First foremost, I guess one question everybody wants to know. The Kung Fu Panda picture that the Kung Fu Panda costume we saw in the Orlando Sentinel article about the costumes, is that going to be Bill and Ted this year?
I can neither confirm nor deny. That's my politically correct answer.
That was Mike Aiello. This is Mike Roddy. The Kung Fu Panda costume? Are you sure it was a Kung Fu Panda costume?
Well, let's be a little more clear. It was a panda head.
Ah, well.
A panda head. I know with you guys that can pretty much mean anything.
Let me just tell you that we're seeing a lot of fairy tale creatures and things from mythology, so you never know. I'm not confirming or denying either. But I will tell you, we have a giant bear in one of the houses, so, you know, with the Papa Bear, so you never know what you might see.
Next question?
This is going to be a simple one, but to start off with, why Bloody Mary?
Michael Roddy, the reason we chose Bloody Mary is when we started to think about this year's event and how we wanted to diversify it from last year's event where we had the New Line characters and Jack, we went down a path of all of the great urban legends and myths and fairy tales, and we landed on Bloody Mary pretty quickly because we were aware of the character. Then we did a little bit of research and found out that she, across the board, was the number two highest rated character or urban legend as far as awareness from everyone from teenagers all the way to people in their 60s. She was number two, and that's had something like an 80% awareness rating. So we knew, okay, everybody knows about Bloody Mary. They don't necessarily know her backstory because Mike created that, but what they do know is that if you say Bloody Mary in a mirror, this creature will appear. And we wanted to do something supernatural. We've been wanting to do a really strong female icon for years, but all just kind of tied up together in a really nice bow. And she is freaky.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, just kind of building on the why Bloody Mary question, is it a possibility that the New Line characters might return someday?
This is Mike Roddy. Absolutely. Possibility. So here's the thing. When we go into designing these, Bloodline was very, very successful for us. We love those characters. Mike and I, there's nobody in this world who loved playing in those mythologies more than us, especially with Freddy and Jason. This year we wanted to, like I said, we did that last year, and the thing that we love about our event, and we are pretty sure that you guys and the fans and the audiences love, is the fact that we are different from year to year to year. That does not mean that next year there might be a possibility to bring one or all of those characters back. I mean, there is a new Friday the 13th movie slated to come out next year.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about remaking Nightmare on Elm Street. You never know. There's also, Universal has a pretty good slate of their own horror films coming out next year. Kinds of surprises in store. I will tell you that we are actively developing 2009 and 2010 as we speak.
The possibilities are endless. I mean, pretty much anything we can think of and do that's fun and that we know the fans are going to want to see, we're going to try it.
Yep.
That kind of leads to another question for me. I'm a big fan of the classic Universal monsters like the Wolfman and Dracula and all that, and I'm just wondering, is there a role for them in future Halloween Horror Nights, you think?
We would love nothing more than for those characters to come back with a vengeance. Mike and I both grew up on those characters. They are ours. They're our history. Plus, you know, they're icons. I have two daughters, okay? They've never seen Frankenstein, but they know that Frankenstein looks like that, and I didn't teach them that as much as I wish I had of. It's in the mythos. It's in the popular culture, the looks of those characters. So, you know, absolutely, we can't wait to get our hands on those characters. But again, when's the right time?
The opportunity to be able to take those characters and make them scary again to today's audiences.
Yes.
Something we want to do badly.
And by badly, he means really well.
Okay.
Because it's been done badly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it done badly a few times.
All have.
So, yeah.
We all have. The name that we shall not speak of.
Yeah, there was a... Actually, the first Halloween Horror Night I ever attended, I think, was the first year of Jack the Clown. And it was with a couple of friends, and our favorite maze actually was... There was a classic monster maze that year.
Germania, yeah.
Yeah, that was very good.
Thanks. Wow, that was 8 years ago.
Yes. It is so 8 years ago, I know.
But. Thanks, dude. You just made me feel really old.
How do you think I feel?
How old were you, like 12?
No, I was 40.
Oh, well, God bless you then.
Yes, bless his heart. He's an old man. What can you say?
Hey, I just turned 40, so I'm right there with you. Of course, 40's not 48.
Yeah.
So maybe you should stop coming to the event. You might.
I don't know. I might just have a heart attack. And.
Yeah, you might break a hip or something. Of course, that's all off the record. Don't print that.
But now, what are you most excited about for this year's event?
For it to be over. Kidding. I'm kidding. No, we're kind of punch drunk right now because we're burning the candle at both ends,
yeah.
and we know we can joke around with you guys. I think
it's the scale.
Yeah, I'd have to say that, you know, last year we had 3 shows and 8 mazes. Keeped up the live shows, and then, you know, we kind of stepped away from our street program. We heard the fans and we heard the audience loud and clear, and I got to tell you, you know, we've been having our final dress rehearsals and executive walkthroughs, and I can honestly say, if you're a guest and you come here and you come through the front gate, you don't have to go to a maze. You're gonna enjoy the heck out of this event. I mean, the street program alone, the size and scale of it, and I know you guys are like, okay, I'll believe when I see it. But when you guys get here, really, we have created amazing scare zones based on some of the coolest properties, but just stuff that, I mean, we have a full-blown schoolhouse. We have 500 pumpkins. We have Alice in Wonderland. It's called Asylum in Wonderland, and you walk through this huge 40-foot truss system with these cards and lighting. Walk through the wicked, you know, the Path of the Wicked, which is what would happen if the Wicked Witch won. And there's flying monkeys overhead, actors playing monkeys. giant castle turret with a Wicked Witch, and then you turn the corner, and there's American Gothic, and you're, you know, in the world of Nathaniel Hawthorne and Lizzie Borden and the Headless Horseman. And you turn around the other corner, and there's the Body Collectors in the streets of London, and it just goes on and on. We've really taken over the whole park.
Left, right, up, and down.
Yep.
Yeah, I know our group, that was one of the disappointments last year, was the lack of scare zones. I think everybody's really pleased to hear that they've been beefed up this year.
More than ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been, well, between Mike and myself, we've been here since the beginning. More than ever, really and truly.
Yeah, in detail as well.
Yeah, the characters that we've created in the prosthetics and costuming, you know, it kind of came out of our brains, and then all of a sudden, there it is. And normally, in the past, we've had things like vampire zones where you'd have, like, 30 vampires. But again, they were kind of, so vampires, a vampire generic kind of feel. This year, every character has a backstory, a name, a look, and the diversity is amazing.
I kind of like, too, how you've carried through the mirror theme, too, with these scare zones.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything, like Fairy Tale, Fractured Tales, the opposite of Happily Ever After, American Gothic, what's behind going on in American culture, that sort of thing.
It's the mirrored reflection of all of these things. And what's on, you know, there's all kinds of psychological impact to that, like, you know, the mirror reflection, the everything from Mirror Mirror on the old Star Trek show to just what we feel the popular, you know, in popular culture, you know, what is on the other side of that mirror. It's the complete opposite of what is real.
Last year, you both had a big hand in designing the thing, and I think I pretty much smothered you with my love for that house, one of the best houses ever. Did you guys have a big hand in designing any of the houses this year?
All of, you know,
what?
I'm going to let Mike, because he really took point on most of the maze treatments this year, and the maze created with a little guy that we call the Wood Nymph. His name's David Hughes. He's our head designer.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Mike and a show director named Patrick Braylard were the guys that really designed all the mazes this year. I have Mike's favorite, but, you know, I'll let him answer that.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much all eight houses this year, we went into wanting to do a very extensive backstory. For me, I think regardless of what makes it into the actual house, I think you got to start with a very, very specific and a very extensive backstory. And then from there, you can start working out your rooms and your scares, things like that. But you got to start from somewhere. And each one of these houses, treatment-wise, is very, very extensive. I mean, you look at the website right now, you can kind of see a very, very minimal description about what each of these houses are. But just that description is about 4 to 5 pages of backstory, just about how the house became the house. You know? We took the same steps we did with Thing last year. We looked at what we wanted to do. We had ideas about things and decided, well, how can we make this similar as far as what our guests are going to expect from the house, but at the same time, what are we going to do to blow people's minds away? Whether it's in the character design for each house, whether it's in the aesthetics of the rooms, whether it's in the detail of the architecture, all those things come into hand with every one of the houses this year. It's tough for me to pick a favorite of this year because they all have their own specific thing that I like about them. But imagine, you know, you guys went to Thing last year. That passion we have for that property, that passion extends over every single one of these houses this year. That same kind of intent to want to do something different, and at the same time give the guests what they are coming to expect from Universal Studios as far as into that detail and the scares and the character and the music. I mean, each one of these houses for me, and Michael, I'm sure, agrees, is a mini-movie. That's how we look at each one of these houses. If we could write a 3-act film, what would it be? What would a Body Collector's 3-act film be? That's what we're given. That is the mindset we go into for each one of these houses.
And going back to the Thing last year, that is just one thing that, you know, you saying that kind of just gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling all over, because just the amount of detail and love and attention and just intensity that you guys put into that house was just absolutely amazing. And to hear that a little bit of that's going into every single house this year is just...
A lot of that's going into every house.
A lot of that, yeah. That just sent me right through the roof.
It's all about passion. I mean, you guys are... The horror fan base is passionate about horror. We are the exact same people. It's having that passion about horror and scares and also a passion about film, about movies, because that is also... Even in the scare zones, that all carries over. It's all one big happy family. It all is based in structure of storylines and plots, you know, albeit sometimes it's all about just getting scared, but there is this underlying meaning in all these houses that carries you through a 3-act play or film.
And changing directions real quick, last year Rocky Horror Picture Show was just incredibly successful and a real cool show. Are there going to be any changes to it this year, or is it pretty much going to be the same kind of show, maybe some extra surprises thrown in there?
It's for the, you know, here's the thing. Rocky Horror is Rocky Horror. And we felt, you know, the producers of the original Rocky Horror Picture Show came and looked at it and were very happy. The audiences were very happy. So we didn't want to mess with that too much. Basically, what we did do is learn from last year and say, okay, guess what? Watch the audiences, and here seemed to be a little bit of a moment where, okay, maybe this is something we can tighten up. Because, again, it's for the audience. So... We want them. Halloween is a high intensity, just fun event, and you know we don't want there to be any downtime. So we look at all of our properties that way. That's why we brought Brian Brushwood back. You know, Brian's great. He's a magical freak, and we love him, and he's crazy, and But we tailor-made a show this year. It's like, okay, you got 20 minutes, Brian. Destroy us. I'm going to. You know, and the same thing can be said for Bill and Ted this year. It's shot out of a cannon, and, you know, you're going to be laughing and screaming and having a good time. But we don't want you to have a downtime. We want you to just enjoy the whole thing.
I had a real quick question, since we talked about the movie thing before, and now you've moved on to, you know, doing your own creations, and, you know, I wonder, you know, these might have been pent-up ideas from last year before you went the whole movie route, but why Doomsday this year if you're going away from movies?
Doomsday was an opportunity. We both went and saw the film and had a blast, and it fits within the urban legend realm of end of the world, the virus that's being kept hidden. There are a couple of components. There was also the opportunity from Universal Pictures with this property. We said, you know what, it's not too much of a leap of faith to put that in this year's mix. And again, we enjoyed it, but there was no pressure to do that. It was, again, and we looked at the overall template and said, hey, this can fit within, you know, just like Freddy, Jason, and Leatherface fit within the Carnival of Carnage. If we didn't think it wouldn't fit, we wouldn't put it in. And once you actually see the maze, you know, I think you'll agree, it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, the film was just fun. I mean, it was all over the place, but that almost added some charm to it because, you know, we're fans of Escape from New York and
Road Warrior,
Mad Max, and that movie really felt like those films.
And Neil Marshall, I think we love his films with Dog Soldiers and The Descent. I mean, he's a great horror filmmaker right now.
It's a fun thing to do. If we're not having fun at it, there's no sense doing it.
But it wasn't a forced fit. We didn't say, okay, let's force this in here. We said, okay, this fits. I mean, this will fit within what we're presenting. And you never know, Bloody Mary might make an appearance in Doomsday.
Yeah, speaking of which, are there any truth to, I heard some rumors that might have been bad, that there might be little hints of other icon characters in some of the houses or in the scare zones and things here.
You're getting some bogus information. Here's what I'll tell you. You know, I can say this about Jack. It was time to let Jack take a rest. We love Jack. He's been very great for us, but it was time to let him put the makeup away for a year or two. This year, you will not see any other icon. This is Bloody Mary's event. This is her world. In fact, so much so that with that icon, more than any other icon, you will feel her presence where you go. From projections on buildings to appearances in mazes to our sound design, you will always feel that she's somewhere watching.
Oh, that's good.
Thanks.
Yeah, as you like you said, it's maybe time to put the other characters away for a while and focus, because in the past, I mean, especially after you know, last year where, or I think it was the year before, I mean, you know, you kind of brought everybody back.
Yeah, the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now we put Jack back in the box for a while, and Caretaker is, you know, he's taking a rest, and I think we sent Grandma, the storyteller, I think we sent her to Romania for a while. And the director's off making a film, I guess. I don't know. He's crazy.
What about Eddie? Would we ever see him return, possibly? Because he almost had a big shot at 11, and we all know the story behind that.
Eddie. You know what's funny to me is that, and I appreciate that it seems there's this whole fascination with Eddie. Eddie made an appearance in 16. We even brought him back. He's the unofficial icon that people won't let drift away, and that's awesome. And I can neither confirm nor deny that you may see Eddie again in the future.
Yeah, it looks like you guys have a lot of fun last year, but you guys were just having a ball out there with all the designing and getting to go through them. Like, Leatherface's house looked incredible. Freddy, like I said, was my favorite. Camp Blood was just indescribable. The Thing as well.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I can definitely see why you guys won that Golden Ticket Award. Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're very proud of that.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I noticed it around the park. You guys already got the signs up. That was lucky.
That didn't take long, did it? Yeah, we didn't even know they went up.
We really didn't. Oh.
Look at that.
Okay.
It was like 2 hours.
Oh, my God, we won? Oh.
Well, somebody said, hey, did you guys know you won it? Well, yeah, I went and accepted it. I know it.
For those who have been following the website, there's this former private detective named Boris Schuster, who's part of the whole Bloody Mary story. He seems to have disappeared mysteriously.
Mm-hmm.
Has his fate been announced yet? And if not, or whatever, is he going to be part of Halloween Horror Night?
Boris?
Yeah, Boris.
Yeah. I don't want to ruin what's going to happen on the website. Just say that all will become clear in the next few weeks.
Okay.
Boris is one of those creations. Maybe he was real, maybe he wasn't real. That'll all become known on the website. And I have to mention the website. You know, I hope the fans know how much work goes into that. I know the regular consumer comes and sees the website, and that's their portal to us. There's a whole team dedicated, okay, we're serving the audience, but we want to serve those hardcore fans. That website, the love and passion that goes into that, just like we do for the event, the website is for the fans and you guys.
Yeah, I've been pretty impressed with that site. I was reviewing it again last night. I was just blown away by the level of details in Mary's files and throwing in the paranormal investigators and everything. It was just beautifully done. And speaking of matters regarding technology and using technology to scare people, in the past we've seen, you know, Halloween Horror Night technologies evolve from guys shaking cans and beating on trash can lids to, you know, other ways of scaring people. What sort of technology can we look for this year? Are you at liberty to say?
You know, Mike and I have grown up in a little older, so maybe I was grown up and have gotten older, and Mike grew up in a world where there were DVD commentaries and the magic is revealed and there's a fascination. I hate to sound like a hypocrite on this, but it's as much as I love that and how cool it is and I love it for myself, it sometimes ruins the experience knowing exactly what's happening. But we are always, here's how I'll answer this. We are always looking for the newest, most coolest thing. That doesn't always mean it fits within the design. I will tell you that there are some things in this maze that are old school 101 theater that are nothing more than a scrim and a light or a Pepper's Ghost illusion. Because you know what? It's been working for 100 years and it'll continue to work. But yes, there's lots of really cool things this year.
Well, just for the record, my favorite maze last year happened to be Dead Silence. But
yeah.
That was a good one.
A beautiful maze.
Yeah, my favorite one in the new line was Jason.
Oh, cool.
It surprised me because I'm not crazy about those movies. But I thought the maze was actually...
We talked a little bit about the website, but one of the other things that's caused a little bit of conversation this year has been the billboards. Did you guys have anything to do with that, or is that strictly a marketing function?
Billboards? What billboards?
The one that the moms of Orlando love so much.
Oh. Yeah, we had a little something to do with that, but I guess the best way to answer that is cool. I mean, it's Halloween Horror Nights. We're not selling soap, you know. I do disagree for the fact that, you know, when I hear that they're portraying violence, I think what's really disturbing about Bloody Mary more than any of the other icons, that if you think about what we've put up on billboards over the last 5-6 years, even more so, I remember when we had the little gremlin that was pulling the eye back, which was an illustration, and everybody was like, oh, wow, that's really disturbing. One, I think that the reason that Mary has touched kind of a nerve with everybody is the fact that you can't see her eyes. It's not violent, it's just unnerving, because you have no idea, you know, the eyes are a window to the soul, and whenever you meet somebody for the first time, you look into their eyes to register, okay, there's a glimpse of what kind of person this is, and now you've got this 30-foot wide face looking at you sneering and you can't see her eyes. It's disconcerting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was kind of puzzled by that reaction too, because I mean, I don't know, how is this worse than, you know, evil grinning clowns and creepy undertakers and all that, you know? But I'm not a mother with small children, so what do I know?
I have children, and I respect a parent's opinion for what they want to subject their kid to and what they don't want to subject their kid to. That's why we are always very cautionary about the fact when people ask us about the event. Don't bring a kid under 13. Don't do it. But you know, if you choose to, that's your the parent.
Yeah, yeah.
So as much as we, you know, adhere to that, we respect her opinion. And we also go, hey, I guess we're doing our job.
Yeah. Yeah, sure sign that you're doing something right.
What else you got?
Well, one of Theme Park Review's readers had an interesting question. He noted that, you know, the more aromatic features of last year's haunt, particularly Psycho Scarapy, and the addition of a certain scent.
Shame is what
he was just wondering, he was curious about gross-out smells in the houses, if you're going to do it again or if it turned people off.
There will be smells. There will, you know, here's the thing. When we design these mazes, never just say, hey, put a smell in there. If it's true to the environment that we want to immerse you in, then it'll be there. I can honestly say there are haunts in this industry that, okay, this smells really bad, let me put this in this room, and it's like, yeah, but what's the story? Why is the smell there? So there are plenty of opportunities for smells this year, and we have deemed it necessary that we want you to walk into a room and smell hay. If you're going to Kansas, then you'll smell hay. Or if you, we want you to smell decomposing food because a refrigerator has broken down and you're in a refrigeration unit, then we will have you smell that. So
that's always a fun day, too, sitting around smelling these vials of different smells to find out what's going to work and what's not going to work.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I kind of wondered what went into that. I mean,
it's basically what you're picturing is me and Mike and David Hughes sitting around with these little vials of smell and opening them up and laughing at how rank they are and trying to get each other to puke. Sometimes we even say, hey, what if we took one of these and put it in the air vent? It just ran. But we don't because we like our job.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is kind of kicking back to the old my old junior high school days, so though.
He never left.
Not that I would do such a thing, but it did happen.
No, never.
So you guys have, from being there quite so many years and doing this for 18 years, I can't remember, you guys have been there from the beginning, right?
On and off. Let's see, Mike, you came to the first event when you were, what, four?
Yeah, I've been to every event. I've been involved in Halloween in some capacity since 2002.
And my first Halloween was 92, and then I took a short sabbatical for a while, and then I came back.
Well, after all these years of doing it, what is your guys' favorite scare tactic of them all? My personal favorite is the one we saw the most in Dreamwalkers, the classic trap one where Freddy would just drop it, look out, and take a swipe and go right back in,
mm-hmm.
or otherwise known as the Boo Door. What is your guys' favorite tactic of them all?
Well, I know for me, the rooms that I enjoy the most are when you walk in and there's we're showing you something. It's a scene of some kind, and from out of nowhere, you know, from behind you or above you or below you, someone's popping out from another area. But I, for me, when going into these houses, I really like to set up a lot of the rooms that each one is its own scene, and there's some kind of theatricality to it. But on the same note, I like hallways just as well, where, you know, you're walking down a thin hallway and you're just getting blasted left and right. That's a tough question to answer because there's so many different levels of scare tactics, and they all appeal to a certain side of me.
Yeah, I can definitely agree on you there. A few neighbors of mine held a haunted house, and I went down there to help out, and there is a lot of tactics. I don't know how you guys are able to choose the best ones. There's like a book full of them out there almost.
I'll tell you what, one thing that we do, only up in the last couple of years, programs that we'll build these houses in computer programs and actually go through it first person. And we can actually go through the entire house before we even build it and literally see where we can do scares, where would the best be. If this wall is built here, we place somebody that no one's going to see. So that tool's been very useful. In the past, we would build models, actual scale models. But now with computers, we're able to just make these houses and all the architecture in the computer and literally go through them before we even put hammer and nail.
Was there anything last year that you guys got a lot of complaints about, besides maybe the streets, that you looked at this year and said, okay, this is just something that we really need to kind of address and change? Or something that maybe you guys weren't happy with personally about the event that you just decided, okay, we kind of liked it, but let's amp it up just a little bit.
We are our own worst critics. There are a million of nitpicky things that we look at this event with an eye that, well, I think only we can have because we have been with it so long. I think the best answer to this is that we are always looking at ways to make this event better. There will never be a year where we'll go, let's just kind of do what we did last year. That never even comes into play. I don't want to go into specifics, but just know that there's always striving to make this event the very best it can be across the board. Houses, shows, streets, audio, I mean, just as far as what you're hearing when you walk through the front gate. I mean, there are a million different things that we're looking at night after night that we go, all right, let's see how we can change that for next year. That is a minute-by-minute thing in our brains as we go through this event.
Okay, I'll throw mine out there. Last year we saw a lot of gore, but from the looks of it, we're going to see a lot of gore coming from body collectors. Can you confirm or deny that's going to be the goriest house of them all this year?
It will be gory, but there's a house called Interstellar Terror. I'm going to give it a run for its money. And then Creatures is pretty much like we just dipped the whole place in blood.
Oh, this is going to be really fun.
Yeah, we actually, yesterday was blood day for a couple of the houses, and that's always a fun experience. But it's like we're a crime scene investigation unit, and we stand there and we go, okay, so if the creature lashed out with its claw to the left, the blood would spurt across this area of fence.
And we always play the who
yeah.
while we're doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
They get a laugh. They're laughing at
it. Mm-hmm.
I didn't
oh,
even know
dear God.
No, I, you know, it, gore, we love gore. We love it. We love it.
But also, too, one thing we always keep in mind as well is if you see Gore in one house and you see it in another house, you see it in another house,
you get used to it.
So our mindsets are very much of, we want there to be great spots of gore and things like that, but we also want it to, when you see it again, that you know it's there. It doesn't become this, you know, white page that you're looking at and you can't discern what's gory and what's not. We really try and walk that line so that we are getting you when we want to get you with gore, you know?
And then we have things like dead exposure where it's going to feel like you're trapped in a black and white photograph.
And that's one of the houses that I know is the photography theme, and that just looks incredible. All the backstory that went into it, just I don't even know what to say about it. It just looks absolutely amazing.
It is a great house. We were really trying to, we knew we wanted to do something with zombies, so we've done zombie houses before. And we wanted to figure out a way, how can we make this visually different from another zombie house that we've either done here or people have seen in other haunts. So I think we've achieved that as far as the look of this house.
Kind of goes back to Romero's original Night of the Living Dead too, which of course was black and white.
Yeah. I mean, all those films come into play. I mean, Night of the Living Dead is, next to Halloween, is probably my second favorite film of all time.
How do you feel about Diary of the Dead?
Diary of the Dead was a movie.
Yes, it was.
It was a movie.
It was a video.
It was a video, yes. I love Romero. I love Romero's work. Diary of the Dead
was Romero's work.
Was Romero's work, yes. And it was also a movie.
Yes.
A video. A video of a movie.
Basically, it was Romero doing his own version of Blair Witch, in a way.
Right.
Yeah, kind of.
I'm like Cloverfield, just not done quite as well.
Yeah, Cloverfield.
But Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead are freaking amazing.
Yep.
I love those movies. Absolutely amazing.
Well, while we're on the movie topic, I actually got the chance to see Wrong Turn. Have either one of you guys seen that movie?
Wrong Turn?
Mm-hmm.
Love that movie.
Yeah, you just saw it?
Oh, I don't know why. I just saw it one day. I was like, you know, this looks good. I can't believe I hadn't seen it before because that was one of the best. Has there ever been thought of possibly throwing a camp? We already have seen Cannibal, but I don't know, but the actual movie itself. And I mean, we saw Cannibal last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, a Wrong Turn maze?
Yeah, have we ever thought about that? I mean, not the cannibalistic idea. I know it follows it, but we've seen cannibalistic idea. I mean, the movie idea itself.
Here's the other thing, and it's always an interesting question for us because studios own different movies, charge a lot of money to use those movies as a property. So, you know, even if we really are crazy about a property like Wrong Turn, sue that to get official title and the official kind of sanction from the filmmakers and the time that takes, a lot of times easier to walk away and just say, I like the theme, let's do something different. Let's do something cooler with it. I like the New Line deal. That, I cannot begin to tell you how involved that is in the approval process, down to the name of the Dream Clinic, the look of Freddy. We were sending photographs and design drawings back and forth all the way up to, at that point at New Line, Bob Shea, who was the guy who originally created Freddy with Wes Craven, because they were that, you know, serious about it. It was their baby, just like we would not want to license Frankenstein to another film studio without having a major involvement.
I can see what you guys meant by that, because every single thing with the New Line characters, you felt like you were in it. You felt like you were at Camp Crystal Lake, well, I shouldn't say Packing at. You felt like you were getting chased by a group of cannibals with Leatherface, and you also felt like you were in Freddy's World. And that's the thing I've noticed about Halloween Hornets all these years. Everything is down to a science when it comes to the theme and the details.
That's the best compliment you could give us. Thank you.
Well, speaking of movies one more time, you just mentioned if they made a remake of Frankenstein, which would be kind of like remaking Casablanca, which they've remade Frankenstein. What are your feelings and anticipations from one horror fan to the next of the Wolfman remake?
Here's what I'll tell you. We've seen some pretty cool footage from it already, and we both read the script. I think, you know, here's the thing. People have remade those films, but Universal has taken the care and time this time to do it right. Wolfman is going to blow your socks off. And I'm also so excited that Guillermo del Toro is in talks to remake Frankenstein. Because they got guys that are fans. They got Rick Baker, who is the guy. If you're going to do a Wolfman, that's the guy to go to. You know, there's only one guy that can build it, and he's building it not as if it's his own creation, but if, okay, what would happen if Frank Pierce do everything he needed to do and wanted to do with today's technology? Not CGI technology, makeup technology. So I'm terribly excited. And you're talking to a guy who couldn't stand Van Helsing.
Oh, God. So awful.
Soup grown.
Yeah, my, I have a good buddy of mine here in town. Aaron Williamsburg is another old Universal horror fan. He also likes the Hammer movies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we sat through Van Helsing just in disbelief.
Yeah.
I mean,
We don't talk about that movie too much.
No, that's the name that shall not be named. I can't believe my name.
I'm very happy to hear that Del Toro is being considered. If you want to remake Frankenstein, he'd be the guy to do it, really.
Absolutely. Right.
His brain is amazing.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
No, I saw one of his Latin DVD, The Orphanage, just about a week or two ago.
I just saw that as well about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
He only produced it, I think. He didn't even direct it.
I think you're right. You know, the word that was something called The Devil's Backbone.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Also brilliant.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that man's mind is terrifyingly amazing.
What advice or what classes would you recommend taking anyone out there, any of the younger readers that are interested in possibly taking a design career, not just at Howling Hornets, I'm talking about anywhere, what would you recommend doing to chase down that career?
Go to school. Seriously. Get a design. You cannot go wrong. If you want to be in this business in some capacity, get a theater degree. Learn stagecraft, learn the art of theater, learn theater history, because that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's 50% schooling, it's 50% passion.
Mm-hmm.
But even with all that passion, there is a structure to this. There's a business to this. And you kind of got to factor all those things in together and learn as much as you can. I mean, for me, I've literally fallen into this role. But even falling into it, I had to go into it with some base knowledge of writing and plot structure and how you form a story. I mean, because it's not as easy as it looks. It really isn't. As far as writing house, whether it's a house maze or a show script or designing an entire event which has its own storyline.
I'll sum it up the best way is that for me in this business, passion got me in the door. My education kept me here.
Mm-hmm.
Passion will get you a shot, but you need to be prepared.
I personally just wanted to say thank you for all your hard work and all, you know, taking the time out with all the fans and us geeks.
We love you guys. You know that.
One of us.
That's you. Yes, I echo those comments too. Horror Night's a great event, and it's something I wouldn't miss for the world now. So.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be that way without you guys. And of course, you know, we as fans play a big part of what you do. So yeah. I personally am really looking forward to the event starting next week, and
yeah,
I just really can't wait.
Yeah, we even got Hallow Scream starting
next week. It's next week.
Think about this. A week from tomorrow, you guys will be able to come and get the pants scared off of you. Or, well, wait. You can come get scared. I know. No, seriously, guys, thank you for all your kind notes, and thank you for your support through the years, and hey, we're gonna keep doing it as long as we can, and we do it for you guys, so.
Say, do you like action movies?
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Comedies?
Oh, knockers.
Thank you, Doctor.
Movies so bad that they're great.
I want to break every beautiful bone in your body.
Do you think Steven Seagal gets screwed out of an Oscar every year?
Nobody beats me in the kitchen.
If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to check out the Kick-Ass Movie Podcast.
Do it now.
A new movie every week from two college kids with way too much time on their hands.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Check them out online at kickassmoviepodcast.com or myspace.com/kickassmoviepodcast.
Are you ready for action?
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious...
Are you ready for romance?
You know, you may be the first attractive woman I've not wanted to sleep with in my entire life.
Are you ready for horror?
Alive!
Are you ready for Pat McCabe?
What?
Then you're ready for the action-packed podcast that will scare you silly. You're ready to take a walk in the park. Join Pat McCabe every week as he shows you around the amusement world in his weekly podcast, A Walk in the Park Podcast. You can check out the podcast at www.awalkinthepark.podomatic.com. If you're ready to take a walk on the wild side, then you're ready for A Walk in the Park podcast, hosted by Pat McCabe.
He's a very strange young man.
He's an idiot. Comes from upbringing. Parents are probably idiots, too.
That's it. Yeah, we're back.
Yeah! Great, great continuation on that joke that Mike Aiello really wanted a better response out of.
I felt bad for Mike Aiello, so I had to throw that in there. You know,
I thought it was funny.
Like how I said, they do it for us. Well, us and the hundreds of thousands of dollars that they generate. But that's secondary. Mostly, they do it for us.
Well, no, honestly, those two guys, Pete, you've met them. Those two guys are really as down to earth as they can get. If they didn't get a good response out of it, if they didn't get a lot of love from us out of it, I don't really think that they would do it. I don't think their hearts would be in it as much. Just really two of the coolest guys I've ever met.
Without a doubt, the detail is for us. Without a doubt, the detail is for us. I mean, on a corporate level, it's of course for the company, but
right.
I mean, those two guys, the passion they put in is for us, definitely.
Exactly. And if you guys want to call in and chime in about horror nights, about anything, you can give us a call at 347-237-5266. We'll open up the lines for the last few minutes of the show here. Also, a few quick announcements. Yes, you have heard different ads this week on the show. If you have an ad for a podcast, please send it to us at contact@awesomebadness.com. We'll take a listen to it, and if we have time, we'll put it in the rotation. We're not going to have 20 minutes of podcast or commercials every week, but you know we'll throw it in there. Unless you pay us, absolutely, because we need your money.
Unless we're really constipated.
No, like I was going to say a minute ago, after Mike took us through the thing, we practically, I mean, you know, we were... Like you said to him during the interview, we practically fell all over ourselves complimenting the house. And
yeah.
You could tell that he loved it. You could look at him and see. You could watch his face light up. And I like to flatter myself in thinking that our opinion, not just ours, but other people that saw that too, is the reason that they've chosen to go farther with the monster effects, the creature effects this year. Because that we gave him such a positive response to that. I mean, I myself, I'm
definitely. I mean, they proved that it worked beyond what they could probably imagine.
You yourself meeting him made him want to do it more. You
goddamn right.
You know that's called illusions of grandeur, my friend. I don't understand.
Don't pop my bubbles, God.
When I go and I watch football, I don't say, I'm controlling the team. They go where I go.
All right, guys.
And can't you absolutely say that you're not?
You can't absolutely say that, but we do have a call on the line. Let's go to the 561. Hey, 561, what's your name?
This is Max. How's it going?
Hey, Max. How you doing?
Good, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing
great. Let you guys know the scariest place, Halloween Horror Nights. You're the mummy.
What's that?
And this is a guy, he waits there, randomly pops out and scares the shit out of you. Just let you know that.
Yeah,
have a good one.
I got a vouch for my bro here. He doesn't jump at Halloween Horror Nights. He's jumped one time, and that was during the mummy. He's flinched three times in the last, 5 years. And I can prove this to you. You hang out with this kid, and he doesn't flinch too much.
You know, funny thing is, where I live, downtown, at the bus station, there's this guy who, randomly pops out and scares the shit out of you, just like that guy was talking about. So it's an amazing coincidence, I think.
Well, Max, thanks for calling in. You got anything else, bud?
No, stay groovy.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Max.
Boy, I bet we can't tell who he hangs out with, can we?
He doesn't hang out with me. I've never met. Okay, I've met him.
Was that the guy at 16?
That was the guy at 16.
He seemed like the kind of guy like me who, honestly, like I'm not afraid of anything, but I'll walk through a house smiling, and I just hate it when I don't get scared. Like, well, Bruce can probably relate to this. Yeah. Right.
Well, guys, real quick, let's go to the 757. What's your name?
Hey, it's Rachel.
Rachel, what's going on?
Not much.
This is Rachel from the Behind the Thrills podcast.
Woo!
Woo!
Yeah, so I called to talk about Palace Dream of Busch Gardens Europe.
Okay. What about it? I heard it's a family event and not as cool as Tampa.
The site look cool?
Well, it's not as cool as Tampa, but I want to say the Masquerade Maze in Festa Italia is 150,000 times better than Clown Fusion last year.
Well, a lot of things are better than clowns from last year. Wouldn't take much.
Well, let me ask you this. I've always wanted to ask this, and seeing that, Rachel, you are in with Bush there a little bit, why is it that they don't go through every year and redo all the houses? How come they just do, like, one or two new houses? I know budget probably has something to do with it, but, I mean, come on. It's proven to be a really good moneymaker. Don't you think they put some money into it?
I really think they would, but, I mean, there's a lot I can't say, but, I mean, yeah. I don't know why they do it either, but they do what they do.
I would think it's because they don't really have any competition where they are. I mean, as far as Halloween events go in that area, they're it, right?
No, they have King's Dominion up there. They do a Halloween event as well.
I'd forgotten all about that. Do they do a Halloween event? I didn't even know.
Yes.
Well, how big is theirs in comparison, though? I mean, is it really competition, or is it scare zones around the roller coasters? Because, I mean,
I don't know. Rachel, have you ever been to King's Dominion for Halloween?
No, never.
Well, that's your homework. This time you have to go. You have to do this.
Well, then it's not competition. Like Hollow Scream gets away with it, but they've really stepped it up in the past couple of years where we're getting two or three new houses in Tampa, and they're trying to add little surprises, I guess, to the returning ones. So, like,
I think that has as much to do with their proximity to Halloween Horror Nights as anything else. They're constantly being compared to Halloween Horror Nights.
Right.
And I know for a fact that the people that work there have a real serious inferiority complex going. I mean, it's not that Hollow Scream isn't any good. It's that they're hypersensitive about being compared to HHN. And I think
right.
If you had something the size of HHN closer to Williamsburg, you'd see them step it up there, too. Again,
definitely.
Well, cool, Rachel. Thanks for calling. You got anything else for us?
Nope, that's it.
All right, cool. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
And next, let's go to the 813.
That was a girl, folks.
Yes, that was a girl.
Wait, what? Oh.
Let's go
you
to
missed
the...
it.
813, what's your name, bud?
Hey, it's Robert from FloridaThrills.net.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Robert, what's going on?
Whoa.
I don't even know you, so hi, how you doing?
Well, I was just calling to plug FloridaThrills.net. I told you I'd do it on the chat room. Ha, ha, ha.
You win.
I know some thrills in Florida that probably aren't mentioned on your site.
What was that?
Oh, I've had a few there.
Wait, are you talking about the truck stop
Yes, we were talking about the truck stop. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What?
I'm
my
there.
Back still hurts.
Is there something you want to tell us, Scott?
When I'm not doing podcasts, I'm behind there. It's actually down in Hollywood after Rocky Horror.
Yeah, Scott is a lot lizard, just to let you know.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what that is, look it up on the interweb, kids. But I didn't tell you to do it.
com.
Yeah. We have.
So what else is going on, Robert?
There's a whole bunch of stuff coming down. Like, as I said on the chat room, we're taking our site in a new direction, working with you on a prototype podcast.
Well, that was supposed to be a secret, so thanks for blabbing that out. Appreciate it.
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry. Well, I was asleep. I didn't hear anything. What, is something going on?
I guess now's a good time, as Anita mentioned. We are going to partner with Florida Thrills. In return for letting us whore our podcast out to them, we are going to help with a podcast for Florida Thrills. So it should be interesting. It'll be once a month. It's going to be the Florida Thrill cast. And it should be
a lot. I know how those once-a-month things go.
It's that time of the month. That's what should be the tagline.
It's the flow show.
Let's do it.
Hey, we don't have any girls lined up for co-hosts yet. So we don't, we have to go find a female so we can make fun of
that's the thing you got to learn about these things. Girls don't really, unless they're paid, they,
All right, Robert, we're going to shuffle you off here. Thanks for calling.
Speaking of whores.
Well, I mean,
so.
Y'all know why I have to stick my, between my legs to do this. I'm paid to do this.
Oh, my God.
Goodbye, horse. Good.
So, anyway, this weekend marks the official start of haunt season. If you are going somewhere and you're going to be there the same time we are, let us know. My personal email address, see, this is personal. Yates says, Yaytez at hotmail.com. This weekend, Preston and I will be at Halloween.
We've become one word.
Prescott. Yeah.
It's plural.
Merged into one magical being.
Fusion Ho!
Geeks Unite! Yeah, no, we're actually going to be at
Relax.
Halloween this year. Can I finish? Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, Ross Perot.
It's in the loop part two.
Oh.
Oh.
Anyway.
Better than the coaster bus.
Inside joke. No, Preston and I will be at Hallow Scream this Friday night. Fright Feast all the way, baby.
Woo.
So, yeah, definitely looking forward to checking that out. And then this Saturday, the 27th, Scott and I will be at Halloween Horror Nights 18.
I will be in no such mood to talk to anyone because I will probably be under the influence of alcohol.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'd like to say that this Saturday, the 26th, 27th, is it? I'm going to be in a cave cleaning up bear crap, so you can catch me there.
Yeah, so you can catch him there.
You will be drinking equally as much.
Yeah,
and
so,
I just want to point out
something. Equally as much now, my friend.
I just want to point out something. Last year, Scott was down on all the alcohol usage. This year, he said he's going to be intoxicated.
He turned
21.
Yeah.
So a couple more quick things to check out. This week also next week also marks the start of when you need to be on the lookout for the Mansa coaster track. Be the first to send us in a picture of it and win tickets to SeaWorld. Easy as that. Contact at awesomebadness.com. Next week, on the docket, hopefully, we will have, if you like horror, if you love Horror Nights,
love horrors.
You've seen or you've heard their music everywhere. I am, of course, talking about Midnight Syndicate.
Woohoo!
We will have Midnight Syndicate on the show, if all goes right. And you will be able to call in live at 347-237-526.
Live interview.
That's right. Live.
I'll have to behave.
Yes, you will. And with that, we're going to get out of here. So until next time, guys, thanks for listening and step into the abyss.
Live down the adventure.
If you guys
are on the show, if you possibly can.
Meet me at Rocky Horror. I'll make your day. I'm gonna cut my fingers!
great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
it
though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!